Previously on Taz Royale.
Okay, I'm going to open the piano and get Duber out.
Hell, Kremit, thank you. I always believed that you were good. I think Scorpo is wrong about you, sir.
You're like a nephew to me.
Jane?
I could tell he had that sort of a menacing aura, and I mean, look at him. He looks kind of scary, and fuck. So,
hey, it's okay.
She's going to bolt.
And what's that growing out of your shoulders? Whoa!
It's a Kate potion!
You wish to save the ape.
And break this thing. That's my dude.
This ruined world, this hellish contest, these are the wages of the eternal mind. Give them to me, and I'll free you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Adventure Zone Taz Royale, our winner take all battle royale 64 enter one wizard leaves season of the Adventure Zone.
What do you think about the subtitle instead of Royale? What do you think about Center Take All?
Oh, that's cool.
Ooh,
it's cool.
Yeah,
right?
We're getting towards, I would say, the back.
So more of a sequel title, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say it's
Royale 2, Center Take All.
Little late to pivot now.
Center fake ball.
Center fake ball.
It's like you're a center and you can't ball, but you fake it.
You pretend to.
Check this out.
Yeah.
This is like you're a divorced dad and you're trying to win over your kids because you only have them for one weekend.
Yeah.
Dinner, cake wall.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool, actually. I like that one even better.
Oh, God.
Spinner Sean Paul. This one is our season where it's all about taking.
Skinners take gall. Takes a lot of gall to be a Skinner.
That's true.
We are currently, guys, in the throes of the trial of necromancy. You and the other surviving wizards here inside of this mansion, under assault by many zombies. You've done a decent job thinning the herd and have cleared your way up to the second floor of the house. Your goal is to survive until sunrise. And as hectic as things are right now, you all can sort of catch a glimpse of the first traces of the sun's rays peeking over the edge of the Ziggurat Island. You are getting very close. In fact, sunlight has begun to very, very slowly overtake the roof of the building that you all have taken shelter in to defend yourselves against these this horde of zombies. Right now, where we left the situation, we got Hell Grammet.
He was being eaten as Snooky looked on in horror.
Hell Grammet.
Oh, help me, Snook.
All the gym stuff I did didn't prepare me for this.
The skin is too tanned and leathery. Can't get through it.
Hell Grammet had just rescued Duber and was leading him to the second floor to safety. We had Lorevith Gonchbon Dreamwonder, who had just sort of dispelled the seal on the second floor and found a really great red half cape that I fully intended for him to have. In the office, still on the first floor, being blocked off by the exit by another corpse mound that is still sort of pursuing him. And I would say most sort of dramatically, as we ended the last episode, Rictus Ravenwood IV had just sacrificed his ghostly grandfathers to the specter of death to free him from the time bubble in which he had trapped himself for the second time in one episode in order to rescue.
Thank you. All right.
In order to rescue his dear friend, Pranklin.
It happens to the tribe of us.
That's true. Sometimes it rains the tribe nation.
That's true.
Griffin?
Yes.
What new special powers do I have now that I've sacrificed my great-great-grandpappy and my great-grandpappy?
Give me an arcana check, please.
Okay, I was hoping you would just tell me. A 12.
A 12. you don't feel that you have new power. You do feel the bubble that you had trapped yourself in, this bubble of frozen time, has slowly begun to, not slowly, it's like a popping of an actual bubble, frees you and sets you loose. In this moment where you sort of rejoin real time, you feel something kind of missing. And with a 12 arcana check, you can tell that the blessing that sort of grants the Ravenwood line this eternal life after death in the form of these ancestral ghosts, you do not feel a connection to that in this exact moment, right after you have sort of given away your grandfather's to death. That doesn't mean you feel powerless. In fact, you still feel yourself sort of, you know, charged with the magic that you have been bestowed. It's not like you've been left powerless, but there is an element of your sort of inheritance that does feel kind of weakened in this moment. Mm. You also, however, are back in real time. Pranklin, who has been attacked a couple times by this corpse mound and is struggling to get free, is right in front of you. We'll start with you. What do you do?
May I cast two spells?
Let's do one first and then kind of see how we're feeling.
Okay, I cast invisibility on Pranklin.
Okay, so invisibility is entirely a sort of like visual-based spell. He is being sort of grappled by these guys.
I see, okay.
So it's not like a Lord of the Rings, like you become intangible as well.
How about I'm going to cast Cause Fear?
Okay. On the corpse mound, I'm assuming?
Let's see. Yes.
Okay.
Ah, fuck.
Does it not work on undead?
It does not. Okay. How about... Okay. I'm going to... Let's try this again. Run up and grab Franklin's hand and cast Thunderstep.
Okay, great. Yeah. Why not? Thunderstep. You have the spell slots for this, I'm assuming?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You... reach forward, you grab onto his hands, and just as a sort of group of the corpses inside the mound reach out to try and grapple you as well, you bamf away. And as you bamf away, a thunderous boom sounds, and each creature within 10 feet of the space, which I think is just this corpse mound, is going to have to roll a con save.
Con save 14.
That is a 7. That is insufficient. They're going to take
con save, 3d10.
I want to make a 20. Con save. But, oh, shit, yeah, dude.
20 points of damage.
20 points of damage is big. This corpse mound...
20 bottoms of
This corpse mound was pretty fresh. I think it's the one that Loraveth had been dueling that is has been mostly dispersed at this point. However, you do knock them slightly away, and you and Pranklin reappear where? Go ahead and place yourself.
On the stairs.
On the stairs leading upwards. Okay, great. You and Pranklin teleport away a short distance, free from the corpse mound, which you hear sort of recovering and making its way back towards you from deeper in the house. Pranklin looks up at you. He's definitely injured and bloodied. He seems to be panting sort of furiously as the poison, the curse that these things bestow with their scratching and biting appears to take some effect. He is breathing and he is alive. I'm going to go ahead and move you up to the second floor stairs, where as you are dragging him upwards, you see Scorpo doing basically the same exact thing, dragging Hippocrates, who has this great sort of gnarly head wound that Hasty Jane gave to him, sees you pulling him up, almost like you guys are doing a fun race up the stairs, dragging your grievously injured competitors to safety.
Is Hippocrates poisoned as well?
Hippocrates is not. Hippocrates was just bonked really hard by a candlestick.
Is he conscious?
Barely.
Hippocrates, if I give Pranklin's been bit, if I give him this like vial of stuff you gave me, is that going to help him?
I think it's an antidote. Do you have any like Advil or anything for me? Maybe.
Can I see the corpse mound?
Not quite. It is still further down the hallway. They do not move quite fast enough to catch up to you.
How far away are they?
I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 50 feet.
Okay, yeah. I cast Wither and Bloom.
Now, do you need line of sight on them? Because they are on like a different floor of the house than you.
It says the range is 60 feet.
Okay.
Does
it say any creature in your line of sight?
It says center on a point within range.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you can do that. You know where they are, right? So I and these things are moving slow enough that you can target that pretty easily. All right, Wither and Bloom. They are. Is this a con save as well?
This is. Wither and Bloom is a con save. Yeah, 14.
Okay. That is an 11. So they're going to take some damage.
5 points of damage, and Hippocrates can use a hit dice to heal.
Okay. All right, that's 4. That's 4 points of damage. But he's a little guy, so it's not, you know, that's significant. You do your thing. You, from one hand, channel the forces of death, and from the other hand, the forces of, you know, rejuvenation. Hippocrates.
They gotta come up with the opposite for death.
That's yeah. True. Yeah, I've been asking the dictionary guys for a long time.
The best they came up with was undeath.
Anti-death.
Undeath?
Yeah, yeah. Hippocrates kind of shakes his head and sort of ruffles some of the feathers on the back of his head and kind of stands up, kind of looks at Scorpio. It's like, thanks. Thank you, Rictus. I'm good. I got it.
The antidote, will that help him?
Yeah, I assume so. It's the antidote that was found during the trial. I assume it'll fix the poison.
Okay, I give it to Franklin.
All right, you pour the antidote in his mouth. Franklin is an ape. He's going to not want to. He doesn't want to take his medicine.
It's afterwards we'll get ice cream.
After
this trial,
he nods his head and opens his mouth and he takes the antidote.
That's my big boy.
As he does so, you see these sort of like black veins that were forming around the bite marks recede and return into the bite marks. And he kind of also shakes his head, stands up. He looks at you. He gives you a big, tight hug. Big, tight, tight,
tight.
Oh,
that's my guy. Okay.
Let's hop over
to... Well, then, Rick, this is going to take off running towards the library.
Okay. From the second floor of the library?
Correct.
Okay, cool. We're going to hop over to that library, into the office, to Lorevith. Lorevith, you are in this office. Right outside the door is the corpse mound. But again, you've thrown a lot of shit at this corpse mound. It is fairly beat up. Burger Man had just run off into the woods. You've lost sight of him. And you are standing here with a bunch of zombies between you and sort of the door. There are windows leading out into the woods where Burger Man left, but...
Did another corpse mount chase him?
No, you didn't see another corpse mount chase him.
Oh. The other thing you forgot to mention, Griffin, the one other cool thing is that I recently healed myself to full health.
How did you do that?
The power
exercise,
of Christ.
Diet.
No. Let the record show. There was a red potion.
Oh,
if you'll recall,
yes, a potion of superior healing.
Your red
healing.
Potion.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've recently refilled the full health. It's an interesting scene setting technique because the last thing I said, I remember to the corpse mound. I don't remember. It was some hard shit about how I was going to beat it to death.
Okay.
And now I get to deliver on that promise, which is always, which is a lot of fun for me.
Okay. That's
Chekhov's fist.
All right, Lorevith, you have healed yourself up with this healing potion. As you take a step towards the corpse round, you realize you are still poisoned by their bite. You do still have the sort of curse that they afflicted on you. And what do you want to do? What are you doing to this corpse round?
I want to find a face and kick it in a face.
Okay, cool. So an unarmed melee attack roll. Go ahead and give me that.
Oh, be fucking leave.
It almost wasn't.
What's the narrative justification for this god?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking to God. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's a one.
Like, what is the narrative justification? I'm fully healed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's beaten. It doesn't make sense I would roll a one right now.
Yeah, for sure.
What's the narrative justification?
You're poisoned, right? And so you think, like, I'm hot shit.
Please, fuck that. Yeah. I took a red potion.
Yeah.
And it was better.
He's totally
red
pilled.
Yeah.
I red pilled it. I was ready, good. Griffin.
He's heal maxing.
You must be a sinner then.
Yeah. Mm. You're not going to take it all.
Sinner takes some.
That's
okay.
Damage.
Just tell me that this weave, you know.
Yeah. So you try to stomp on ahead, but you know you lose your step. You falter as you are weakened by this poison, and the corpse mound, slow as it is able to sort of shuffle out of the way of your big stomp. Do you get any other sort of attacks or actions? I know you're not a fighter by trade.
Don't I get a second attack?
I don't think so. That's sort of fighter shit. Your foot lands sort of in the middle of this, weakened pile of zombies. One of them is just going to sort of lunge out and try and bite you around the ankle. This thing is not making multi-attacks now. You've sort of thinned the herd out to, a quarter of its size. But one of those zombies is going to sort of take an opportunistic little chomp here. And that is a 9 versus AC?
That ties.
Okay, so that does hit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. I got lots of HP now.
Okay, that's only 4 points of of chomping damage. I am going to need you to make a con save against the poison that's already
double poison.
Oh wow!
I rolled an 18
plus
5, 23.
Hell yeah, dude! This thing bites you. It looks up at you. It meets your gaze, and you just kind of flex, and you feel the sort of effects of the poison that was harming you before.
You flex, and the poison flows back into their teeth.
It squirts out, nice. Dude. You have saved from the poison. You shake off sort of these weakening effects, and the zombie looks up at you. Its teeth sort of got barely through your boot, and it seems to be kind of stuck in there. What do you do now?
I mean, now I'll look for some nuts and punch them.
Okay.
Some nuts in there.
Right.
14 plus 6, 20.
Absolutely. You find 2 sets of nuts.
Whoa.
And, yeah, they're stacked on top of each other just through kind of happenstance.
Right.
4 Double damage. D's nuts.
2 sets of testicles. So divine.
You know what? Okay, did that hit 4 damage?
4 damage, how's yeah, absolutely. Looking? Gushy. Bad for these 2 zombies. They explode. And now there's just a 3 zombies left from this pile.
3 zombies in the pile.
3 zombies in the pile.
How much do they weigh?
let's see.
Let's catapult.
A desiccated 3 desiccated.
Catapults out. Yeah. More than 5 pounds?
yeah, they are more than 5 pounds.
All right. I'm going to cast Lightning Lure.
Okay, cool.
On them.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my guy.
This is your OG spell, right? This is your original gimmick.
Yeah, my
gimmick.
OG spell. It's narratively important.
Yeah, I love it.
I failed so miserably at punching the first, or kicking the first time.
Okay.
And I forgot. You got to succeed on a strength saving throw.
Oh, a strength save. Okay. You whip the lightning lure down around some of these zombies, and as you pull, they pull, and that is only a 6.
No.
Strength save. They are not the strongest little guys. What happens next?
They're now going to take 2d8 damage.
Okay, roll that for me.
And I think rather than trying to tug them towards me, he's kind of yanking the whole pile up
for
in
sure.
the air, just chuck it.
13 points of damage. That is enough. You whip your lightning lure and it wraps around these 3 zombies. You fling them upwards, and as they kind of fly into the air and collide with the ceiling, as they come landing back down, they are completely motionless and still, and this corpse mound is defeated.
Okay. And Lorva says, up and away. And he jumps out the window, flies out the window with the cape.
Wait, out the window or the door? The door into the library or the window out to the woods?
I mean, I guess I'm flying into the library.
Okay, cool.
First of all,
yeah.
Before I fly away, I got to do a quick dig around. It's a big corpse pile.
Yeah,
I
have sure.
A butcher. I mean, this is kind of a literal butcher's because I'm peeling the meat parts away looking for consumables.
give me...
To see if they have any jerky? What do you mean? Did they have any mints in their pockets?
Closer the bone, the sweeter the meat.
You know how this nerd stuff works? Like a scroll or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Like gold gem, pieces. The gem of Ensalor. I don't know.
Yeah. Give me a roll, man. Give me an investigation check as you sort of root through these fallen aspirants.
7.
You find pictures of loved ones, notes.
With a 7, these appear to have been sort of stripped of their belongings. They are only barely recognizable as their sort of fallen aspirant forms, and they don't find you don't find anything of value.
Well, okay. I am going to. I'm going to head towards. Where they are.
Okay.
I'm not great with layout.
Yeah. So the library.
I hear them fucking around and I'm going to head in their direction.
Cool. The library has a stair set that opened up as you sort of freed the seal here. So you're able to actually go up this stair set into the second floor of the library. You reach the second floor of the library. There is a small kind of set of tables here, like wash basins here next to this bench at the very top of the stairs. Some more sort of desks and rows of books, and you see a door leading deeper into the second floor of the house. Let's hop over to Hellgrammet, actually, because you are somewhat close by. Hellgrammet, you are racing up the stairs with Duber. You do not see any immediate corpse mounds or really any sign of danger since you sort of escaped the piano room, evading Pip, the enlarging gnome wizard. You've made it to sort of the landing here on the second floor, and there are a few exits here. We don't have fog of war on the map, but basically there's exits in, you know, west and east and north from here. There's also a small landing with like a small seating area with grand sort of windows overlooking the sort of courtyard area out in front of the house. What do you
do? Are there doors leading into the study?
Yes, there are doors leading into the study.
Okay, then I think Duber and I are going to try to join up with the rest of them.
Okay, great. That is a good plan. You race forward through the doors at the top of the stairs and step foot into the study, right as you see Franklin, Hippocrates, Scorpo, and Rictus, who was sort of racing, making a beeline for the library exit. You sort of catch him sort of mid-sprint. And Duber looks at the rest of the group and says, "Oh, where's Lorovith? Is he okay?"
I thought he was with you.
Thought he was with you.
He tucked me away inside of the piano from where you rescued me.
Classic Lorovith.
Piano guys, stuff, guys.
Guys, listen. What are you guys? Shut up. Listen. What are you guys say? Look. One of you guys could be like, "Look!"
Okay. "Look!"
And then somebody else could be like, "Up in the sky."
"Up in the sky!"
I didn't think it would be Travis, but that's okay. Somebody else can kind of pick it up from there. "Look, up in the sky."
Is that a bird? That must be a bird.
No, it's a plane of existence. It's just me, Lorovith.
I can fly now.
Lorovith is not flying. It's important to say, Lorovith has a cute little red half cape that is draped behind him, and he's got his arms out as he runs from the second floor of the library into the study where everyone else
I'm
is.
I'm not imagining it the same
Whoa.
Way.
He's flying.
Flying is a...
Thank you for believing in me.
Justin, this is what I just realized. There's only one Griffin, and there's three of us. So if we all treat it like Lorovith can fly, Griffin can protest all he wants to.
Yeah.
But we're seeing Lorovith fly.
So Lorovith touches... I'll just take it. Lorovith touches down. And the cape sadly disintegrates in the dust.
Whoa.
It was one incredible
one
flight.
One way only.
Perfect.
But we'll never forget.
It did work the way I said, right, Griffin? But it did.
Yeah, you flew for a little. You flew for a little bit, and then the cape disintegrated.
And you always have that memory too.
Okay.
He wraps Duber up in his arms. Boy, speak to me. How are you?
I'm okay. Hellgrammet helped me. He got me out of the piano, and he saved me from Pip.
I'm so sorry. You had to first that terrible calamity, and then you had to speak with Hellgravit.
Well, no, I was wrong about him. I thought he was Scorpo. Was always telling me what a just huge dick he is, but he absolutely saved me. He came in clutch.
Duba.
I think he's changing.
What a hero.
Duba,
does.
What is it? Duba, what is it you and I always say to each other? Who saved who? Right.
Right. Yes.
The same thing here.
I saved him. That's
who saved who?
I saved
him. I was trapped in a piano being assaulted by a giant zombie, and he saved
who saved who, Duba? It sounds like you saved him in the much the same way you saved me.
No, he didn't.
But you already saved me.
He didn't save me. I saved him. It was
bad news, Bugman. He already has a ward.
Pretty clear cut. I saved him.
Loraveth, when you when you trigger the sigil. Okay. When you hit the thing, did it, like, disappear completely? Can we turn it back on?
I have a sense it was a one-way sort of deal.
Hey, everybody, in case you've somehow missed it, Story and Song, the final graphic novel in our Adventure Zone Balance graphic novel series, comes out next week. You can pre-order it right now at theadventurezonecomic.com. If you pre-order from one of our indie bookstore partners, you'll get a book plate signed by one of us and Carrie. Book release event next week in Boston. Tickets are on sale now. It's going to be July 16th at 7 p.m. at the Chevalier Theater. Each ticket includes a signed paperback copy of Story and Song provided by Brookline Booksmith. And we have a special mid-month episode of Clubhouse on Tuesday, July 14th to celebrate the book coming out. And the regular monthly Clubhouse is still on the 21st, so check that out. We've got some new merch this month. There's a Trav Nation Centennial Magnet, along with a bunch of other great stuff. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will also be donated to the Asian Pacific Environmental Network. So go check that out, macroymerch.com, and back to the show.
All right, we're over 70 episodes into our show. Let's learn everything. So let's do a quick progress check. Have we learned about quantum physics?
Yes, episode 59.
We haven't learned about the history of gossip yet, have we?
Yes, we have. Same episode, actually.
Have we talked to Tom Scott about his love of roller coasters?
Episode 64.
So how close are we to learning everything?
Bad news. We still haven't learned everything yet.
Oh, we're ruined!
No. It's good news as well. There is still a lot to learn. Woo! I'm Dr. Ella Hubber.
I'm regular Tom Lum.
I'm Caroline Roper, and on Let's Learn Everything, we learn about science and a bit of everything else too.
And although we haven't learned everything yet, I've got a pretty good feeling about this next episode.
Join us every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
If you want to know what's going on in the world of movies, you should be listening to Maximum Film so we can tell you all about it.
Okay, but what if you already know what's going on in the world of movies? What if you're kind of obsessed with movies, like maybe you have a problem?
Well, then you should definitely be listening to Maximum Film, because we too have that problem, and it's important you know you're not alone.
We're talking indies you'll want to seek out.
Blockbusters and blockbusting wannabes.
Classics we can't get enough of.
I'm comedian and writer Kevin Avery.
I'm film critic Alonzo Duraldi.
I'm festival programmer and producer Drea Clark.
Together, we're Maximum Film. Smart about movies in Hollywood, so you don't have to be.
But if you already are, that's also great. And hey, we see you.
New episodes every week on MaximumFun.org.
Let me describe the study, because everyone in the trial remaining, except for Hasty Jane, she is still sort of nowhere to be seen after running off flash speed after attacking Hippocrates. You are in the study, which is at the very center of the second floor of the house. There are exits basically in every direction. There are, the staircase that you guys came up from on the north side of the house. There's the staircase to the south side of the house. There's the entry into the library. And then there's sort of some other spots that you could make exit from. If everyone could give me a perception check, please. As you do that, I'll describe sort of the more visible, obvious stuff in the room. There's a table, sort of a conference table on a very fancy rug lined with sort of bookshelves. There is a very comfortable looking seating area in front of one of two fireplaces in this room, flanking the west and the east walls. And how do we do? How do we do on those?
I got
rolls?
A 17.
Helgrammet rolled a 6.
Okay. And looks like Lorvik got a... Well, that's an investigation check. I need a perception check, Juicer.
Yep. I banked it off the top of my
You're doing a lot of trick shots with these fake virtual dice today. Okay, and a 12. So, Helgrammet, you don't glean anything necessarily in addition to that. Lorvik... you notice, I will say Lorvik and Rictus, you notice that over the fireplace on the east wall, there is a sort of diagram that looks like a sort of bunch of interconnected squares that you're able to kind of puzzle out is a diagram sort of representing the second floor of this house. And in the four sort of corner rooms at the northwest, northeast, southwest, and southeast, the four sort of corner squares of the house do seem to be sort of colored in a way that the rest of the map is not. Four colors, there's purple, red, green, and blue sort of marked on this map in those four sort of cardinal corner rooms. With a 17, I will also tell you, Rictus, that inside of that fireplace where you saw this sort of diagram, there is a raging sort of prismatic fire that is burning bright and hot. Behind that flame, you can see the first few rungs of an iron ladder that do appear to be hidden within this fireplace. Those are the things that you have gleaned here.
Got it. Okay. I think we need to put out the fire, and I think that in each of those rooms, we're going to find something to turn off portions of the fire. So, like, because it's prismatic, so there will be, like, some kind of switch or something that turns off the green part. There will be a switch or something that turns off the purple part. And then there's a ladder out to the roof.
Mm-hmm. You figured all that out just by looking at the fireplace in the map?
Scorpo says.
That's
I have ADHD and really good pattern recognition.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
You were born with two powers,
he says.
Yes.
Eyes sort of bugged out wide.
Yes. I have necromancy and hyperkinesis.
Okay.
Have they? I'm new here.
Yeah.
Let's pretend that I'm catching up with everybody. Have they been into the guest rooms?
No. So no one has explored the second floor here yet, aside from the library that you kind of ran in from. The guest rooms here in the corners do appear to be the rooms that are sort of color coded based on this map.
Duber and I will search the guest room.
Well, I was thinking Duber would want to go with me as the person who saved his life.
Helgrammet, you stand in the left corner of the room. I will stand in the right corner of the room.
Right.
Duber, we are both watching now.
Directions.
This is so much pressure.
Wait, turn out your pockets. Make sure there's no bacon or anything
there. No bacon. No.
I love a rasher of bacon.
Mama.
From Mama Bacon's bakery.
Come with Uncle Hill. Come on.
Give me a persuasion check, both of you. Lorvik with advantage because you do have a sort of pre-existing relationship. A crit would be so funny here, Dad. Not to tell you your business, but a crit would be hysterically funny.
Persuasion check? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. That is a 17, dude.
17.
What? I have a...
That's a match. My God. That's a tie. A 17 from Laura.
That's incredible. Griffin, now that's your problem now.
You have advantage. You get to roll one more, Laura Beth.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's torn. Okay, so this is narratively, right? He can't decide.
I don't know. Helgrammet saved me, and so I feel like I owe him one more.
Oh, that's a crit. That's a crit from Laura. Oh, wait, that's Rictus rolled that. Why are you rolling that? Travis, there's no reason why Duber would want to go with you.
He doesn't want to choose.
Oh, that's a good point.
Duber.
I'm going to go with Lorvik because I sort of know him.
I rolled a 17 and a tied 17, and then I rolled a 14. We have to deal with this, Griffin. I know it's not in your grand design, but we have to deal with this fair.
Okay, you both come with me. How about that? Helgrammet and Lorvik. Does that sound good? Good.
It's the only rational decision. Right. Come along, Bugbrat. Okay. We're going into the guest room.
Okay. And Justin, if you look at the map, you can see the purple room, the red bed, the blue bed.
Yeah, they're
the
green sort
bed.
Of.
Those are the ones.
You can see those on the map. Well, okay. My favorite color is green, like the grass of the hills in which I was
you're
born.
You're not in charge. I mean, you're not the leader.
I thought because you two were sort of fighting over me that I was sort of the leader of the... No, I see now.
Ward.
That's ridiculous. Okay,
you're
yes.
my ward.
Sorry, what?
Our.
Can we clear...
Are you looking at the second floor of the map? Just make sure you're scrolled up to
I
the
am.
Second floor.
Yes, I'm looking at the second floor of the map. So okay. I see a purple bed and a red bed.
And there's and a green down one down below.
Green and blue.
And there's a green one and a blue one.
Yep.
Those are the, are those the guest rooms?
Yes, those are the four color coded sort of suites. Yeah. Yes.
The suites. Okay. How about I take the Bugman and Duber into the blue master suite? That seems like a good place to start.
Okay, you head to Hellgrammet, are you?
We go together. I mean, you're not taking, but I agree with your path.
Okay.
Okay, great. We both in lockstep. Let's go.
Two men and a baby style with Duber, yeah. Sweetleaf. Make your way down to the southwest, the master suite.
I'm
going to
call
doing?
Out. This would be a lot easier if we had Hasty Jane with us because she's so fast and she could check places.
There is no response.
Okay. Franklin, let's check out the junior suite, the green room.
Franklin... runs on all fours, scampering towards the junior suite. As you are leaving the room, you see Hippocrates head up towards the northwest corner and Scorpo to the northeast corner to check out the two remaining rooms. We will start in the master suite, the blue room. You walk in, and this is one of the finest bedrooms that you all have been within in quite
very
some time.
Fine bedroom we find ourselves in.
It is a very fine very bedroom.
Very fine.
Okay, there is a large California king size four post bed with this like blue dark velvet comforter sort of draped across it. There's an entry into a small bathroom. To the side, there is a small sort of table with a few chairs seated around another fireplace, within which you see a blue flame burning brightly. And Duber is going to just sort of start poking around the room, looking for snacks and what have you. What do you do, Hellgrammet?
I'm gonna do an Arcana check.
Okay.
On the blue flame.
Okay, go ahead and give me a roll.
That would be 11.
Okay, it does appear to be sort of a natural flame in a lot of regards. It seems to be just sort of being produced by, you know, some lit logs within the fireplace. But with an 11, you can tell that it is sort of connected to something deeper in the house that does appear to have some sort of, almost like your alarm spell kind of sets a trigger for something. This appears to be doing that as well. As you get closer to the blue fire to sort of investigate it, you can also see at the back wall of the fireplace, there do appear to be some sort of like channels into some tiny little crawl spaces, but you're unable to kind of see within there easily with the blue flame still lit.
I communicate all that to Lorbeth.
Okay.
What do you think? Could you like pee on that and put the flame out, or do you have a...
Let me try.
Good.
Let me try this.
Good.
I'm going to put my hand out and cast Absorb Elements.
Oh, cool.
That's not peeing. I thought you said you would pee.
It's like peeing with your brain in reverse.
It's like peeing brain with pee. Your brain in reverse.
Brain pee.
That's how the hill giants think of magic.
Yeah, it's like peeing from, it's like brain piss,
pee
backwards
brain
piss. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so the way that absorb elements.
It would be a fun spin to do one arc where like magic is real in this universe, but it is very vulgar and like wretched to see other people do. Like it's something you would never want other people to see you do because it's like so gross.
Everybody turn around, I have to magic. I told you to magic before we left the house.
Okay,
write that
you,
down, Juice.
You coat your hand in the sort of like protective ward of absorb elements. This is not like a vacuum sort of situation. This is a shield that absorbs energy. But in order for you to like really absorb it in order to suck up this fire in the way that I think you're thinking about. You will have to touch it. You will have to be subject to it. You will gain resistance to whatever kind of like damage it might sort of deal.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm trying to keep my distance, but it's not going to fly. I'm saying
this idea works, but you're just going to take
but
a
I'm
little
gonna have
fire
to take
damage.
The risk. Yeah. There's like a yeah. I gotcha. I will cast shield as a first. That's wimpy. Okay, I'm just gonna do it. I'll stick my hand in the flame and cast absorb elements.
Okay, see you what happens. Reach your hand in, and immediately you feel a very faint burning sensation as the fire sort of licks your palms, and you. That's 4 with resistance, so you only take 2 points of fire damage as you reach your hand forwards into the flames. You feel the heat from this fire sort of enrobe your hand and see the blue flames kind of begin to vanish. And in just an instant, you have sucked up the blue fire. And you are also sort of imbued with it for, what is it, your next melee attack on your next turn. You will do 2d6 mm-hmm. extra damage of fire. So make sure you remember that, because I won't. And you suck it up. Give me a dexterity saving throw, please, immediately.
Dexterity saving throw immediately.
Yes.
A quick brain update. I did zone out a little bit mid-sentence, but tuned back in for make sure you remember that.
Awesome.
I won't. So that was a fun. And my deck saving is a 3 -1, 2.
Okay. You.
Lauren has also zoned out.
Yeah, apparently.
You reach in, you absorb these flames, and you have a moment of satisfaction as you reach your hand in and. See that you have successfully retrieved the blue fire. However, you feel instantly, as soon as that fire disappears, a painful sort of crunch on your outstretched hand, and you look down to see the undead form of Dr. Legume. In one of these crawl spaces behind the fire, who has reached out to chomp your hand. His eyes appear to be sort of a faint sort of yellow. He doesn't appear to be sort of triggered by you. This just appears to be kind of a reflexive thing. You are going to take... Give me a con save.
Is he just playing?
What's
is
that?
He just play? Is he just playing?
Yeah, he's just goofing around.
This is how he says hello? It's just, yeah. He's just having some fun?
I am going to make a roll here with disadvantage, but I do think a 13 still beats your AC. So you're going to take 3 points of damage from the bite, and I need a con save from you, please.
Let me get my damage. And my con save is 13 plus... No, sorry, 5. Plus 5, 10.
Okay, you also are going to take a little bit of necrotic damage here. Okay, 3 points of necrotic damage. However, this bite was so sort of ineffectual that it doesn't appear to have kind of delivered the... it's called a dry bite. I learned that from this past season of Survivor, where someone got bit by a sea snake, and they were like, well, you have to fucking leave, man. That's bad news bears, but it's a dry bite. Dr. Legume climbs out of the fireplace. Again, like his eyes don't appear to be sort of locked in on you as he
do
climbs.
I have, what kind of history do I, help me understand my history and understanding of Dr. Legume, because I've heard a lot of his misadventures, all like
that is sort
stuff.
Of immediately, I think, cleared up for you as he crawls slightly out of the fireplace and sees Helgrammet. And as he sees Helgrammet, you see his head snap to the side and flash bright red, and he is going to begin sort of trying to make moves.
If I could just finish up my turn here, I'm just going to scoop Duber up and like pull him out of danger.
Yeah, sure.
Away from that situation.
Duber was poking his nose around.
Actually, I'm a bug now.
That's
bug
their
man.
Business, Duber.
Yeah, he
That's
pulls
their
up.
Business.
He needs to do this on his own.
You're a man now, Bugman.
Doctor,
right? I don't know. Good luck.
We'll come back to this room in a second. Rick, as you walk into the Green Junior Suite with Pranklin, and within here you see a still fairly stately bedroom, not quite as fancy as the master suite we were just in. There's a door to a small kind of ensuite bathroom that, not a door actually, it's sort of separated from this room by like a sort of thin sliding like bamboo wall. There is a large king size bed in the room and some small furnishings, and right next to the door that you all sort of enter into, there is a very small fireplace lit here with a green flame. Pranklin immediately begins sort of poking around the room, just like fucking shit up, just like throws the mattress off the bed, just kind of like looking for stuff. What are you doing, Rictus?
Do I see any switches around the fireplace? I'm going to investigate, Griffin.
Yeah, give me an investigation.
That's what I mean
check.
To say.
Cool.
That's an 18 okay. plus 3, 21.
Okay, with a 21 investigation check, you're sort of looking in this corner by the fireplace. There don't appear to be any switches. Again, this is just like a fire in a fireplace being created by logs, green flame sort of emerging. You didn't do an arcana check, but like you are the one who kind of figured out the sort of lock and key situation that you're currently in. With a 21 investigation check, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, because you are very, very close, this fireplace is right next to this wall leading into the bathroom. You can hear some movement inside of the bathroom from just beyond this kind of sliding barrier.
Okay. I motion to Pranklin to back up towards the door.
He nods. He's going to take a step away.
And I'm going to hit the fire with Ray of Frost.
Okay, make an attack roll. You're going to hit because it's stationary, but...
Is it 25?
Oh, yeah. You ray the frost the shit out of this fire, man. Give me... No, we're not going to roll damage. You absolutely blast this thing. And in an instant, the logs freeze over and the green flame disperses. And as you do that, I'm going to give you advantage on a dex save because... the thing that is on the other side of this wall is going to be sort of activated as you commit this spell.
Well, the first one's an 11 and the second one's an 18.
Okay, with an 18, you are sort of wise enough to take a big step away from this wall right after blasting these flames out. And from beyond the wall emerges a very familiar figure, but disfigured and sort of really, really mangled here in undeath, missing one of his arms. You see the shambling form of the gentleman who smashes through the wall, coming at you, lacking all of his kind of, savoir faire, his like fancy man sort of energy here.
All of it?
Yeah.
There's not even like 2% of it?
No, all of it. Oh. And he reaches out with one of his arms towards you. I'm going to say Pranklin is going to take an action here and picks up a stool and is just going to fucking throw it at the gentleman as hard as he possibly can. We'll make this roll on the table. Oh, he misses. Yeet. He gets a 3. The table smashes against the wall next to the gentleman who appears to be completely unfazed by the action. Pranklin kind of looks sad at that.
I grab Pranklin's hand and try to rush out the door.
Okay, awesome. You are fully
able. We did what we came to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You leave the gentleman behind as you escape through the junior suite out back into the landing. Where would you like to go now? We'll stick with you for a little bit longer.
I'm gonna head towards the purple room.
Okay. You are going to race towards the purple room, where Hippocrates ran into earlier. Pranklin is going to sort of follow in your footsteps. To determine the timing of what's going to happen next, I would like you to make an athletics check to see how quickly you are able to clear the gap here. That's a crit.
That's a crit.
That's a nat 20. Okay. Wow. Okay, with a nat 20, You race forwards at tremendous speed through the study, up through this sort of landing on the second floor, and throw open the door to the Western Suite, where Hippocrates is exploring the purple room, as it was so coded by the map. As you enter, you see Hippocrates, who appears to be moving still a little bit slow. You fixed him up a bit from the head wound that he suffered, but he doesn't seem to be making like kind of the best time here. Franklin did not quite catch up to you as quickly as you sort of sprinted with your nat 20. Hippocrates appears to have missed. There is a small desk at the north side of the room, sort of flanked by these windows overlooking the back of the graveyard area. There is a small candle there that is flickering a purple flame. And give me an arcana check, please.
That is another nat 20.
Holy fucking shit, man.
What?
These are happening on the
dice. I'm powered by death.
This is on the virtual tabletop. That's two legit 20s, baby. That's
amazing. I am Rictus Ravenwood, servitor of death.
Oh, you've come a long way, baby.
Yeah.
You race into the room and you see this purple candle is flickering, and it seems to be growing brighter and brighter. And just in an instant, just looking at this thing instinctively, you know that this is trapped and it is about to explode. It is about to absolutely fill this room with purple fire. And
Hippocrates, get out now. Come here, quick.
Hippocrates is going to look back at you, spread his feathers out, and just kind of chicken run out of the room. What do you do?
I blast it with Ray of Frost.
Okay, make another attack roll. This one, I will need you to make an attack roll, because this is a candle you're aiming for. God
18
damn, dude.
Plus 6.
The flame on this candle grows sort of like flare bright and starts to expand out and then contract, ready to go supernova. And in that instance, you just hit the wick of it with your Ray of Frost and send it out. I was fully ready to just nuke Hippocrates here if you hadn't run fast enough or figured out what was going on fast enough. But thanks to your heroism, once again, you have pulled Hippocrates' ass out of the fire. He looks at you and says,
"Wow, why are you saving me so much? Eventually we're going to have to kill each other, right?"
"But now is not your time."
"Okay, man. Thank you.
And he is going to make his way back into the study. Franklin catches up to you. You can see sort of back into the study, Rictus, that the sort of map over the fireplace only has one sort of square still lit up, which is the red square up in the corner. But for right now, we're going to hop back down into the master suite where Helgrammet, Dr. Legume, has begun to climb towards you, eyes blood red.
Okay. Helgrammet turns his head a little bit to the side and speaks to Duber and says,
"Hey, Duber, let's fire one up."
And he hits Dr. Legume with Scorching Ray.
Okay, go ahead and give me an attack roll. Dr. Legume is prone. I'm going to say you have an advantage on this attack roll. He is not in melee distance, so you do not take the disadvantage of making a ranged attack like that.
And let's see. Here we go. And that would be a 16.
16 absolutely hits. Give me that big nasty fire damage,
nasty
please.
Fire damage is a 3.
Yikes, yikes.
Don't do that.
Yikes, yikes, yikes. It is a 3. However, it is also a 6, because as you blast Dr. Legume with the fire and sort of cut a path kind of across his body, you can see where the beam kind of ripped across him. You can see sort of the mottled flesh cinder and burn. However, he is going to continue his pursuit of you.
Here's also what I was going for. In the movie Hellfighters, starring John Wayne, they would have oil well fires.
Beloved non-problematic figures.
Do you have a non-problematic cowboy figure that you could
use? Nobody like else. Walton, well, Jim Hutton.
You say like a Walton
Jim
Goggins?
Hutton was in Hellfighters too, so.
I don't know who that is, but he's probably old enough to have some skeletons in the closet.
Okay, well, then
Jim
that works then.
Grandkids,
yeah.
Don't remember.
They used fires and explosions to put out other fires, like oil well fires.
Okay.
So I was kind of hoping that it would knock out a little bit of the blue flame. Any chance of that?
The blue flame's gone. The one that Justin put out?
Lorevith
did absorb that blue
flame. Oh, he absorbed the whole thing?
And then from behind it, he absorbed the whole
damn thing. And Dr. Legume is coming for your badass.
Okay. Dr. Legume is going to reach you, and he is going to make a biting attack roll on your leg plate here. And he will succeed. That is a 17 plus... I mean, it doesn't matter. 17 plus 5. Yeah, 22 is going to absolutely hit. He sinks his teeth into the chitin of your compound legs, and you feel a crunch, and you're going to take 5 points of damage, and I need you to make a con save, please. You're trying to beat an 18.
Then let's see. I'm trying to beat an 18.
Yeah. It's an 8. Yeah, this is really nasty shit. Okay, you feel a terrible heat spreading inside of your body from your compound leg where Dr. Legume has sort of snapped onto you. You are going to take 6 more points of necrotic damage, and you feel yourself afflicted with the same curse that a few other folks have suffered during this trial. Dr. Legume is somewhat injured, but appears to be still fully functional. Duber's going to take an action since you kind of conjured him. You said his name. Duber is going to grab a big vase from a nearby shelf and jump up on this table right behind Dr. Legume and try to bring that vase smashing down on his skull. That was almost a crit, and yet it wasn't. That is an 11, which actually hits Dr. Legume. So this vase comes smashing down, releasing some sort of dead, withered up flowers. Very spooky stuff. You feel scared looking at these scary flowers. And he is going to take 4 more points of bludgeoning damage. He seems to be sort of on the ropes here as he looks up at you, Helgrammet, sort of pitifully, you know, surrounded by these shards of pottery.
And dead withered flowers.
And dead, scary-ass withered flowers.
And old-ass water.
Lorevith, what do you do?
Where's the water touching? Like, what's all connected by water currently?
From the vase.
Oh, Dr. Legume has been sort of splashed down in water. I would say, like, there's a small pool kind of surrounding his kind of midsection, but Duber's up on a table. Helgram is far away enough that there's not really a...
All right, great. I'll go ahead. I'll use Lightning Lash on
Lightning...
Dr. Legume.
Lure?
Lightning Lure, yeah, thank you.
Okay. That is a strength save, right?
Indeed.
That's not going to do it. A 9. Okay, go ahead and deal your damage.
You should know I take no pleasure from this. You seem to have wonderful taste in people.
11.
Yeah. You whip the lightning lure around Dr. Legume and give it a good solid yank. He just fucking flies towards you, and you kind of reflexively duck out of the way as he smashes into the back wall and collapses, just fully crumpled up into the nearby couch and is motionless.
Dead again? Yeah.
Fully dead again. The noise of that is sort of intense enough. Your guy's sort of attention is drawn to where Dr. Legume smashes against the back wall of the room. Give me a perception check, please.
18 plus 1, 19.
I'm going to roll for Duber as well. Helgrammet, can I get a perception check from you as well, please?
I feel like I perceived everything, but all right.
And that would be another 9.
Okay. Helgrammet, you and... Did I roll for Duber?
Yes. 4 plus whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Duber did a shitty job. Helgrammet, you and Duber are sort of transfixed by the exploded form of Dr. Legume at the back of the room as Lorevith kind of impressively whips him apart. But Lorevith, your sort of battle instincts are savvy enough that you know not to kind of like lose sight of your six, because from the other sort of hollowed out space behind the fireplace, Dr. Legume climbed out of one of them. You hear a rustling. And as you turn back away from Dr. Legume, you see another zombie climb out of the flames, and it stands up to its full wizarding height and appears to be, you know, somewhat mottled, somewhat torn apart like the other zombies. But you recognize this undead figure pretty quickly. It is Randolph, former ward of Duber.
Dimmer.
Warden.
Warden. Yeah. That's got to be right, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's agree on it.
Duber turns and sees Randolph and appears somewhat shocked for just a moment. Helgrammet, you turn to see it now as kind of the other two react. And Randolph, you know, has these kind of like faded yellow eyes, just like Dr. Legume did before you, before he saw Helgrammet and was triggered to go after him. And Randolph's eyes snap towards you, Lorevith, and they flash bright blood red. And he is going to immediately start scrambling over the table in your direction. Helgrammet, I think its action is to you.
Okay. It is Legume still got his jaws on me?
No, Legume has been thrown across the room and exploded and killed.
Okay. Helgrammet is going to sprint over, grab Duber, and cast Leoman's Tiny Hut.
Amazing. What does that even... I don't know that we've ever done that
one. A 10-foot emanation springs into existence around you and remains stationary for the duration. I'm going to say that I grabbed Duber, that he grabbed Duber, pulled him away enough from the others so that they're the only two involved here. And creatures and objects within the emanation when you cast the spell can move through it freely. All other creatures and objects are barred from passing through it. Spells of level 3 or lower can't be cast through it. So they can't get to us, but we can see them.
Okay, cool. You grab Duber, take a step backwards away from Randolph, who was charging towards Lorevith, and immediately this shimmering dome of light expands out and surrounds you and Duber. Who looks around a bit confused, kind of gets an idea of what is going on. It is Duber's turn. Duber appears to be stunned, sort of stock still, by the scene that is unfolding before you. He seems completely unfazed as this like shielding, warding bubble appears around you guys, and he's not going to really do much of anything on his turn. Lorevith, the action is to you. Randolph has moved his speed towards you and will be on you on his next turn, depending on what you do next.
What is the immediate danger to Duber?
None. Duber is inside of a protective bubble that Helgrammet has formed around him, and Randolph is charging after you with this sort of like, you know, lock on that these things have been using.
This is a time for shield.
Okay.
This is a moment for shield. Why was I trying to cast it before?
Shield is going to give you plus 5 to your AC. Actually, the shield is a reaction, so you can wait and use this if you are
attacked. Okay, great. I'm prepping shield.
Okay, cool. But you can still, you know, take an action, cast a spell, move, do whatever else you would like to do sort of on your turn.
Kicking has not worked for me today, I would say. It's been a rough time for kicking. Wait, how close am I to the wall?
I mean, you can be as close as you want to be to the wall. You have your full move.
I want to spider climb up onto the ceiling as he's charging for me.
Okay.
What are you going to do with that? Put smoke on that, pal.
All right.
Smoke that, Randolph. I do the one thing you can't, Randolph.
You
climb on ceilings.
You clamber up.
You could never do this, Fanuba.
You clamber up the wall and are now perched on the ceiling. And Randolph.
Look at me up here, Randolph.
Randolph has his neck sort of craned upward and he's like swatting sort of fruitlessly up at you, appearing to be just like whipped up into a frenzy. However, there's just no way he's going to reach you from here. Like, there is simply no way that Randolph is going to reach you. And I think that's your turn. Randolph is so locked in on you, he is not going to do anything else but continue to try and swat at you, but because
he's spider climbing. Okay, let's just keep going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tuba, help Rabbit. This is your moment, yes? You can escape. He's looking at me. I'm up here, Randolph. Oh, you really hate me. Look at me on the ceiling, Randolph. Don't take your eyes away.
Duber is... Give me an insight check as you're sort of like talking to Duber. Hellgrammet, you can roll this too.
Could I instead do a persuasion check?
Because sure.
I'm telling Duber what to do.
Persuasion check is totally fine if you'd rather sort of
get
him out of there.
It probably doesn't even matter. 16.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what... I thought I'd get a 16 with that.
Yeah, that's super good. Okay. With a 16, Duber seems to look at you and look at Randolph, and he appears to be pausing in a way that you can't quite... I mean, obviously, this is a very charged situation, seeing his two former guardians kind of dueling, but he seems pretty shaken, but with that sort of command that you give him, he kind of nods, and he is going to sprint through the edge of the bubble and run out into the hallway, and that leaves Hellgrammet. Hellgrammet, you are still within your bubble. Lorevith is safely on the ceiling, and Randolph doesn't seem to be fazed by Duber running by. Is locked in purely on Lorevith in this moment.
Now, Bugman, go!
Okay, I'm going to run after the same direction Duber and the rest have run, and when I do that,
okay,
Liamon's hut vanishes.
Okay, poof. And Lorevith, that just leaves you in the room with Randolph. What are you doing to sort of disarm or escape this situation?
Okay, I'll start slowly climbing down the walls.
Okay.
I'm inching down. Is he trying to like approach? He would like to come closer to me, right?
Randolph is absolutely furiously like a rabid animal trying to get at you.
Okay.
Randolph, I'll be honest, I'm feeling a little pinned up here, my friend. Yes. You should know, Randolph, if there's any Randolph in there, I'm taking very good care of Duba. And I know that's important to you. And Randolph, if I could say one other thing to you. With the hills as my witness, you will not leave this room. So if you care about the boy, let me pass safely. Because I promise you, Randolph, I'm the only one who can protect him.
Give me a persuasion check here. This in this moment, Randolph is exhibiting more kind of humanity than any of the other undead that you have faced. So far, he seems to be listening, which is a new thing. And let's see if your words have any effect here. Oh, that is a 10.
Well, I cast fireball.
Okay, go ahead and roll. Wait, you have to roll the attack. Hold on.
I gotta roll the attack. No, the dex.
A dex save. Okay, yeah.
That's a dex save.
I'm gonna give him disadvantage as you distract him with this, like, flea. Yeah, that is a 3. He is not dexed enough to do this.
I'm glad Duber didn't have to see this, man.
Yeah. I mean, what Duber does see from outside, and Hellgrammet, you see it as well, is, you know, you had closed the door behind you as you'd run out to put more distance between you and the zombie Randolph. What they see is just the door being blown off its hinges by an explosion of flame. And as you peer into the room, Helgram,
I do hope, Griffin. I do hope. I hope that at least maybe Rictus saw what I can only imagine was the briefest flash of hesitation across Randolph's face. Like, I think Randolph was able to get out of,
Now that you mention it. You see Helgram from the hallway as the door gets blown off its hinges. You do not even see Randolph anymore. You see a small wizard-shaped scorch mark on the ground, and you see sort of other... There's like a bearskin rug in here that's just like completely fully on fire right now. And in the kind of flaming wreckage of this room, from the ceiling, you see Lorevith drop down
The number of dice I just dropped might have killed Randolph.
Like, yeah, it was just the weight of those eight dice, I think. Lorevith, as you dispatch Randolph and clear this room, now I'd like you to give me an insight check, please, on Duber, who still seems to be kind of stock still. That is a six.
And how do you feel about that?
Here's what I'll tell you with a six. Duber looks scared of you as you sort of reappear in this room that you've just blown to smithereens. And for just a moment, I think you wonder, like, is it maybe because I just obliterated Randolph? But Duber looks at you and sort of composes himself, wipes a tear from his eye, and says, Randolph attacked you before anything else happened. Did you kill Randolph, Lorevith? Was it you?
Duber, I want to answer your question. But first, I have to ask you one very important clarifying question about killing Randolph. Which time?
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.